was also just an excuse to go for it. I've wanted you for a very long time, Tass. I didn't lie about that.
Oh. I feel like my heart might crumble.
Oh?
I shrug and look down.
What does O mean, Tass?
It really hurt when I thought you used me just to win. I sigh. And I want you to. He steps in close and rubs his thumb over my lower lip.
Stupid girl. I would never use you. I just wanted to be with you. The girl next door, who crushed my heart in kindergarten. Also the girl who didn't put up with my bullshit and tormented me with her little laugh and little walk and her big words for the last decade.
My mind starts to deconstruct the thousands of memories I've stashed away inside my head of Hunter and me. I think I chose to remember the bad stuff, the teasing and torment. But there were times when he did try, buying me chocolates on Valentine's or giving me a big box of funny elf pencils for Christmas. He even invited me out a few times to eat, but I never took him seriously. I just chalked it all up to him trying to play a prank. Sorry, not falling for whatever frolicsomeness you've envisioned in your cranium, Hunter. Or, sorry, Hunter, but my intelligence can only be spent on matter, which you don't. I suppose I could see why Hunter might need a hard push to go for it when I'd shot him down so many times. His argument, that the bet gave him an excuse to be with me, makes sense, I suppose. The waterworks start up again, and I wipe the tears away. Damn it! See what you did? I sob my words.
What, Tassie?
You made me not be mad at you anymore, I cry. How do you do that to me? He pulls me into his broad chest and plants a kiss on the top of my head.
Because you secretly love me?
I sink into his strong frame and inhale his sweet scent. Love. Now there's a word I never thought I'd associate with Hunter. And he's right. My feelings run deep. Otherwise, he wouldn't get to me like he does. Clearly, I'm into you. I sniffle.
I'm into you, too. Ever since you convinced me that I was destined for great things and to never give up.
I pull back and look up at those hypnotic blue eyes. I said that? He nods.
Yes. You were studying Latin root words at the time. You told me that Hunter means greatness. You were five. But you were very convincing.
My mind can't. It just can't. But it has to. Everything in my world, planets, stars, and the microcosms inside my cells, have finally aligned. For once in my life, it all feels so right. Will you please kiss me now? I ask. He grins, full dimples and everything.
Yes. Yes, I will. If you will be my real girlfriend and go out on a date with me. No more pretending.
I'd like that. He dips his head and kisses me with soft, warm lips. I realize that this is the kiss I've been waiting for my whole life, and it's better than anything I could have imagined. Chapter 21. The rest of Thanksgiving week is a blur of emotions. Me and Hunter, our families, and dealing with letting go of a reality that no longer exists. That's the funny thing about facing the truth. It's hard to swallow, but it also sets you free. My new reality is helping me see possibilities and the future, one that will be with Hunter. Turns out, he is going pro, after college. He says that he only plans to play for a few years and then wants to go into teaching. Science, of all things. My heart fucking melted right then and there. I always knew you were a closet smarty, Hunter. I'm so hot for you right now. Seriously, imagining him teaching, expanding minds? So, so sexy.
You always were a sucker for education, he replied with that cocky little smile.
Anyway, Hunter and I have been going crazy for alone time all week, but we haven't had a moment of privacy since the big family showdown. That night, my brother arrived, and I had to spend quality time with him, catching up. The next night, Hunter's parents came over for fondue. It was actually pretty funny because our dads discovered they're both into birds. Yeah, birds. My dad has a couple of feeders in the yard and uses a program to track them as part of a sub-routine that correlates bird migration to weather patterns. And Hunter's dad, well, he likes to shoot birds and eat them. Not exactly the same thing, but it's common ground and a good place to start a new relationship. Then the following day, Rach and I went for our girl's day out. Toes, manicures, facials, and lots of talk about her new guy, some botanist she met at school. Yes, they slept together, so she and I got to compare notes. For scientific purposes, of course. The week flew by, but there wasn't a moment that I wasn't pining for Hunter. Those lips, that body, his sweet smile and voice. But more importantly, I craved our connection. It existed at a level so deep that my heart pattered with the thought of holding his hand. My body, on the other hand, exploded at the thought of being alone again. Skin on skin, heart to heart, breath with breath. Thanksgiving Thursday, after we have dinner with our families, Hunter and I meet outside.
"Let's go home tomorrow,"
he says, kissing me, panting, pushing into me as we stand on his porch. I feel like dragging him into the bushes and having my way with him. "Tomorrow?" I kiss him hard. "My mother will be upset if I leave early."
"I will be more upset if we're not alone, Tassie."
He nuzzles my neck.
"I can't wait anymore. I need to be with you."
That's the other truth I came to fully understand this week. Hunter told me more about how mean I was to him when we were little. He'd try to talk to me, but I'd only roll my eyes or tell him he wasn't as smart as me. Honestly, now looking back, I really was a huge, heartless demagogue. It makes sense that he bit back. Underneath it all, however, I feel like we didn't let it go because we preferred to have a bad relationship than no relationship at all. Then we got smart and grew the hell up. Hunter suddenly looks at me and sticks out his lower lip, making it quiver. His blue eyes go all round and saucer-like.
"Please, Tassie."
Oh, hell. Not the puppy face. You know what that does to me. I can't help cracking up. Hunter keeps it up. "Okay," I say. "Let's leave at 6 a.m. That'll give us almost 3 whole days before Elle or your roommates come back." He kisses me again, gripping me tightly with his strong hands.
"It's not enough, but I'll take it."
So will I. And I think this weekend is a good time to tell him that I've thought it over and have decided that I definitely exhibit the classic signs of being in love. Heart patters, inability to imagine a future where he's not in it, and an insatiable urge to make him mine forever. Plus sex. I really want to fuck him again. Like, dirty, nasty animal sex. Yep. He deepens the kiss, making me want so much more. I don't know how I'll ever be able to get through classes now. I'll only be thinking of him. "Tassie!" screams a tiny, sobbing voice. Both Hunter and I turn to see Elle coming from her Nissan. "Elle?" I let go of Hunter and rush over to meet her. "What happened?" I know it has to be bad, and it has to be her mother. Why else would she be here?
"I can't do it anymore, Tassie."
She throws her arms around me and sobs.
"I can't."
She drops to her knees, and I hold her, but look up at Hunter, who's completely lost. He doesn't have a clue what to do either. I stroke the back of her head. "What happened, Elle? Tell me." She just cries in my arms. This concludes Smart Tass by Mimi Jean Pamphiloff. Narrated by Lauren Sweet. Copyright 2017 by Mimi Jean Pamphiloff. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Paper and Silver Incorporated and was produced in the year 2018 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.